Chapter 1. The End Before the Beginning. 6 o'clock, Monday evening, October 8th, 2011. Chicago is burning, and this time Mrs. O'Leary's cow isn't to blame. Chicago, Illinois, the inner city, is a military zone. Thousands of infected roam the inner city. Most have changed into something inhuman. Some shamble around, others ran like animals searching for someone, anyone to savage. Within a mere 24 hours, the human species we know has now been recreated by an unknown enemy. A thin young woman with blonde hair stared out of her 42nd floor window. Her office sits on the corner of Michigan Avenue and Randolph. A body fell past her vision, and she smiled, not out of joy, but with hatred. She pressed her face against the glass, the streets below clogged with movement as a sea of tiny cars and even tinier people crawl along the streets. Her eyes opened wide and the glass turned red. The city buildings bulged as puffs of smoke billowed from their windows. It filled the spaces between the towering monuments of modern humanity. The confused souls on the streets stared up at the world around them, and others searched for a reason everyone else screamed. When the creature came, most waited for God to give them a lifesaver or to show them the way. Their prayers weren't answered. A Mercedes jumped the curb and plowed down the sidewalk, crushing creature and people. After about a mile of smashing and crushing humans, it finally slowed as body parts clogged the wheel wells and undercarriage of the car. Vehicles jammed into others until they piled up on the streets and sidewalks, thousands trying to escape the city to no end. Drivers suddenly found themselves trapped like hamsters in those tiny plastic balls. Hundreds of individuals abandoned their vehicles, praying to avoid the evils that roamed the streets. An endless mass of people moved toward the Chicago River bridges. A mass of people funneled into the roads leading away from the chaos on Michigan Avenue. Through the slow motion of a riot, many dropped from the stampede, magically disappearing under an avalanche of people. The mass moved around the crumpled lumps of broken flesh. From Jefferson Street, the buildings looked like enormous factory smokestacks filling the skyline with clouds of white ash. It swirled up and down and then snowed onto the crowds like thick black soot. The mass burst to life with horror as adhesive residue fell from the sky onto them. Way above the chaos, several helicopters flew over the city buildings. They buzzed around like bees trying to avoid the buildings and smoke.
"Please leave this area immediately,"
boomed from a military chopper. Inside one particular aircraft, a reporter braced herself with one arm and pointed in the direction of Adams Street. Her voice rang in the pilot's headset.
"Fly over towards Adams Street."
The pilot swung the helicopter in that direction. She tried to describe the scene below to the anchor as the video cut in and out. The view below took her breath away. Her voice broke, and her eyes widened with fear. She felt helplessness. A moment passed. She regained her composure. Her hands shook slightly, making her grip loosen. She only managed two words.
"This can't..."
Then silence loomed over the airwaves. The anchor, Jack Seymour, spoke clearly and calmly as he replied. "Pilar, can you describe the scene down on the streets? Pilar, can you hear me?" Suddenly, her voice broke the silence.
"I can't describe what I'm seeing, Jack. A thick cloud of ash is obstructing our view right now, and what I saw before could not be happening."
Then again, silence. Her voice came back as a screeching sound. It cracked and reverberated like fingernails on a chalkboard, filling the airwaves with curiosity. "Pilar, I believe the video is back." A video exploded onto the screen. Thousands of people ran towards Adams Street. Then the camera framed Pilar's face. Her voice broke.
A group of people are running nonstop from Michigan Avenue."
Smoke suddenly filled the chopper, obscuring the view. Pilar's voice came from the background as she said,
"Wait, I think the wind is blowing the smoke west."